Okay, so get this right. We're diving into some real X-Files territory with this one, you.
Oh, tell me it involves aliens.
No aliens this time. But how about some time travel instead?
Time travel. Okay, I'm intrigued. What do we got?
We got our hands on a recently declassified document. This thing, it's all about Project Gateway.
Project Gateway sounds serious.
Dead serious.
Yeah.
It was a top secret government program. And get this, the whole goal was to make time travel a reality. Like actually build a working time machine.
No way. Hold on. Are we talking like theoretical physics here or?
Nope. Blueprints, schematics, mission logs, the works. Looks like they actually built the thing.
You're kidding. See, this is why I love these deep dives. You never know what you're going to get. Okay, so they built a time machine, then what?
Well, they needed someone to, test it out.
Yeah, I guess someone's got to be the guinea pig, right? Who'd they send?
That's where it gets really interesting. Meet Agent Ryan Cochran, the one and only operative chosen for Project Gateway.
Just one guy. Seems like a big risk to put all your eggs in one basket, time travel-wise. What made him so special?
Well, according to this document, Cochran's own father, a brilliant physicist, pretty much wrote the book on the whole theoretical framework behind Project Gateway.
Whoa. Talk about a family legacy, huh? So this wasn't just some random recruit. They chose him for a reason.
Exactly. Like destiny, almost. All right, so picture this. October 2015. Cochran gets pulled into this top secret world, thrust into a crash course on temporal mechanics, and told to step into, get this, the gateway.
Catchy. Their name for the time machine, I'm guessing.
Bingo. First trip was just a test run. Quick 24-hour hop back to make sure everything's calibrated,
Smart. Baby steps. But even a small jump like that, you got to be careful, right? Butterfly effect and all that.
Oh, absolutely. The document emphasizes how delicate messing with time really is. Cochran, he had strict orders, observe only. No interacting with the past, not even a little bit.
Right, because even like stepping on an ant could have huge consequences down the line. Who knows?
Exactly. And Cochran, being the ultimate professional, he came prepared. Camouflage, the whole nine yards. Even brought a newspaper
A newspaper? Why a newspaper?
to confirm the date, of course. Classic field agent move. Got to make sure you're in the right place, right time, even when time itself is, well, relative.
Smart. Can't argue with that. So what happened? Did everything go smoothly with the first jump?
Well, about that. This is where things get a little strange. Remember those non-interaction protocols? They're about to become very important. See, as Cochran starts making longer jumps, we're talking days, then weeks, then even years, things get a lot more complicated.
Longer jumps, more chances for something to go sideways. I'm guessing something did.
Oh, yeah, big time. For starters, that newspaper he brought, yeah, the date was off.
Off. How off are we talking here?
Even a little bit is a big deal when you're messing with time. This wasn't some misprint. It reveals how volatile manipulating time can be. A tiny deviation in one timeline could snowball into massive changes in another. And it wouldn't be a good time travel story without some unintended consequences, right?
Let me guess. Someone accidentally started World War III.
Nothing quite so dramatic, but there was an incident. Ahem. An unplanned encounter, let's say, that resulted in the accidental death of a police officer.
Oh no, you're kidding. See, that's what I'm talking about. The butterfly effect is real.
Tell me about it. But that's not even the half of it. Cochran's activation switch, the device that brings him back to his present time, malfunctioned.
You mean he's stuck?
Stuck in time, with a dead police officer and a timeline that's already starting to unravel. And to make matters worse, the only person who might be able to fix that switch is his dad.
His dad. Well, that makes sense, I guess. Like father, like son, right? Except, didn't you say his father was?
Dead for 20 years in his original timeline.
Yep.
The document emphasizes how this weighs on Cochran, this grief.
Whoa, can you imagine mourning your father for years, then boom, a chance to meet him in the past, talk about heavy stuff.
Heavy is an understatement. So there he is, facing this impossible choice. Save his parents, potentially erasing his own existence, or let history run its course, knowing the pain it will cause him.
Oh man, classic temporal paradox. Whatever he does, it could unravel his whole life, right?
Right. But it gets weirder. Just when you think it can't get any weirder, another even older version of Cochran appears. This one's from even further in the future, and trust me, he does not look happy.
Two Cochrans. This is giving me a serious headache. What does older Cochran want?
He's got just one message for his younger self. Whatever you do, under no circumstances are you to remove the gateway from the lab. Turns out, Cochran's attempts to fix his little switch problem, Yeah, those have already significantly changed the present he left behind.
Oh boy, ripples on steroids. This is bad, isn't it?
And as if things weren't complicated enough, Cochrane's own mother, sharp as a tack, starts to suspect that something is very, very wrong.
So now he has to explain time travel to his own mother. And something tells me she's not going to believe it. I mean, would you?
It's a tough sell, right? Hey, Mom, so remember how Dad died when I was a kid? Well, guess what? He's alive and well in 1995. And by the way, I'm stuck there. And oh, yeah, I might have accidentally messed up the future while trying to get back home.
Talk about a doozy of a conversation. That document, it paints a pretty intense picture of the family trying to wrap their heads around all this. You've got this impossible situation, a son back from the future, a dead husband back from the grave, and a future that's hanging by a thread. It's a lot to process, even for a family that understands temporal mechanics.
And they don't have a lot of time to unpack it either, because the stakes, they just keep getting higher. It's like every time Cochrane tries to fix one thing, it's two steps back.
Right, like trying to untangle a really bad knot, but every time you pull on one end, it just gets tighter. The document really gets into the weeds with all these escalating problems. Every jump creates a new discrepancy, a new ripple effect. It's chaos theory in action.
And just when you think, okay, it can't get any crazier, right? We get to the part about the Soviets. Turns out they were onto Project Gateway. And let's just say they weren't planning on using time travel for, you know, museum field trips.
Yeah, this is where the document takes a dark turn. It lays out this whole alternate future, one where the Soviets get their hands on the Gateway technology. And let me tell you, it's not pretty. We're talking a whole new world order, reshaped according to their ideology. And knowing what we know about the Soviets, it's safe to say this wasn't going to be a utopia.
So, yeah, Cochrane's mission just went from get home and fix my time machine to save my family, fix the timeline, and prevent a global dystopia. Talk about pressure.
It's a lot for one guy to handle, even a guy who can travel through time. And here's the kicker, right? To set things right, to restore the original timeline, Cochrane might have to make the ultimate sacrifice.
Are you talking about letting his family die in that accident?
It's the only way, maybe. It's heavy stuff, right? Can you even imagine being in that position? Having the power to save the people you love, but knowing it might mean dooming the entire world?
This is where the document really gets into the philosophical nitty-gritty. Is it right to sacrifice a few to save many? Even if those few are your own family, there are no easy answers.
Not even close. But before Cochrane can even try to untangle this whole moral dilemma, things get real, like really real, because the Soviets, they're not the only ones who want the Gateway.
Oh, no. Who else is in the mix now?
Remember Jason, Cochrane's old childhood friend? Yeah, it turns out he's involved. And it gets deeper. It was Jason's father who tipped off the Soviets about Project Gateway in the first place.
Whoa, talk about a betrayal. Do you think it was intentional?
It makes you wonder, right? Did Jason's dad always intend to betray his country? Or were his actions somehow influenced by Cochrane's time-traveling escapades? It's the age-old question, free will versus destiny. And this document doesn't offer any easy answers.
It's all connected, you. Every action, every choice, echoing through time, it's enough to make your head spin.
Tell me about it. And just when you think the dust might be settling, little Ryan, you know, 12-year-old Cochrane, he gets pulled into this whole time-travel tug-of-war, too.
Oh, man, not young Ryan. How does that even happen?
It's almost like by interacting with his past self, Cochrane created some kind of temporal paradox. The document implies that those actions might have inadvertently set in motion a chain of events that led to his younger self getting involved.
So not only is Cochrane dealing with the Soviets, a potential global crisis, and an impossible moral dilemma, but now he's got to protect his 12-year-old self from, well, himself. It's a mess. A complicated, fascinating, utterly mind-blowing mess. So Cochrane is facing down the Soviets, terrorists, a potential time paradox involving his younger self. How does it all end?
Well, the document makes it clear. Messing with time, even with the best intentions, it always has consequences.
Yeah, no kidding. What's the fallout from all of this?
Well, after the whole insane showdown, Cochrane ends up back in his own time, 2015. But here's the thing. The world he returns to, it isn't exactly the one he left behind.
Let me guess. The timeline's gone all wibbly-wobbly.
Wibbly-wobbly is an understatement. See, because of his actions, his parents, they're alive and well in 2015. The document, it really captures his mixed emotions. Relief, joy, but also this profound sense of disorientation, you know?
Because he's living with memories of a life that, in this new timeline, never happened. It's almost like he's straddling two realities at once.
Exactly. And the document, it doesn't shy away from the tough questions this raises. If you could erase a painful loss, would you? Even if it meant, well, rewriting your entire life story.
That's some heavy stuff. So on the one hand, you've got a world where the Soviets never got their hands on the Gateway technology, but it came at a cost. Cochrane's original timeline, the one where he became this time-traveling hero, it's gone, erased.
And that's where it gets really interesting for us, the listeners. We may not have access to time-bending technology, but we all make choices every day that have consequences.
It's like that old saying, be careful what you wish for.
Right. Cochrane, he wanted to save his parents. And in a way, he did. But it came at a cost, a reshaping of reality that he never could have anticipated.
It really drives home the point that time travel, even if it were possible, it's a Pandora's box.
It's a powerful reminder that even with the best intentions, even with advanced technology, we can't control everything. Our choices, they have power.
They shape our present. And who knows, they might even echo through the very fabric of time itself.
And that's what makes these deep dives so fascinating. They challenge us to think about the choices we make and the impact those choices have on the world around us.
So the next time you find yourself at a crossroads, remember Agent Cochrane. Think about the ripples, the unintended consequences, because in the grand tapestry of time, every choice matters.